Angela?
Judy?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope everybody is...
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Excited.
You're excited. What about?
I just enjoying the classes. I really am. It's just, I don't know. I know we're supposed to be not joyful, but sad. But at the same time, I'm excited of wisdom and stuff that I'm gaining, learning.
We're not supposed to be sad during the month of Tammuz. We're supposed to be happy.
I thought we were supposed to mourn or something.
Well, but during the three weeks, there are some people who teach that we're supposed to mourn. That's mostly in the 9 days. During Tammuz itself, trying to be happy is what we're trying to do. It's a difficult concept to understand that underneath the mourning is the joy of the birth date of Mashiach.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult to comprehend it. And I'll spend a lot of time with it for the class in preparation for the 9th of Av. And I spent a little bit of time with it on Sunday morning for the preparation for the 3 weeks. It's really not mourning. The Kabbalists talk in terms of being contemplative, not mourning. Being aware of what we've lost and striving to change ourselves sufficiently so it can be rebuilt. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach. Gedula Chemin Take any of your body parts that need healing and bring them back using the Yud Kaf Shin sequence. Bring them back to the stem cell state, where the body part can be cleansed, can be rejuvenated, can be restored. And then bring that body part back into your body in its pristine state of rejuvenated and restored and totally healed. Barchem tacharem Amen. Tet Reish, Saditav Gimel. Hasin Kadosh, Birotuka, Zah, Adasa, Tet Bet, Tet Nunayim. Yachid Geyeh, Lamcha Benei, Though praise it is Yud Gimel Lamed pays, I am proof. Shavatenu Kabel. Ushmati Ashtatim. Yodeya. Ta'alo. Shin Kufav, Sadiqatah. And the letters of the month of Tammuz, the Chet, that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, the cancer, and the Taf that created the planet we call the moon. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm sorry, but I think I must be in a difficult coverage zone since I am traveling from Sacramento to San Francisco. Hopefully that won't happen again. We're reading from section 29 of Parashat Pinchas, the resurrection of the dead, and we're reading from a section titled Re'aya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd. This is a section, various sections throughout the Zohar, where Moses is the teacher. Verse 167, Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maseyeh Konenei Aleinu Maseyeh Deinu Konenehu. Amar Re'aya Mehem Mana Vav Lon Liv Mei Nasha Ve'inu Nati Min Liba miti mi Ainin Tila yadain Dekad yate Leil yatarin Degehinom Itzatahu Dihi mara Vyasanin Dilad mit pashtin Talkin Ad mocha Vikama Hayalin Vietzer Hara Mit Pashtin Bekol Avadin Rin Begufa de Tarin De Gimelayan de Huanin Dili Bam Sitat Min Vila Mit Pashtin Bekol Nehurin The faithful shepherd said, "Woe to those people whose hearts are blocked off and whose eyes are closed, for they do not know that when the night comes, the gates of Gehinnom are opened, which is called Gaol, and the odors that spread from it rise up to the brain. And a number of forces of the evil inclination spread throughout the parts of the body. The gates of the Garden of Eden, which are the eyes of the heart, are blocked off and not opened, for all the lights that are in the eyes issue forth from the heart." As is typically the case with Moshe when he teaches in the Zohar, it's a very esoteric verse. It's describing the concepts of wisdom, which is what the eyes represent. But what does it mean to have the eyes of the heart? The heart is the seat of emotions. How does wisdom relate to emotions? He will go on to explain this in more detail. He's also talking about the gallbladder and the odor of the gall rising up in the body at nighttime. What he's describing is as our soul leaves to elevate, to be restored during the evening, the body is left by itself. And anything that is an empty shell is going to be inhabited by the negative side. And that's what happens to our body. That's what's being described here. That at night, the body becomes empty because the soul leaves. Not really leaves, but it does leave to go upstairs to be cleansed, to be rejuvenated, to be dealt with in the spiritual system. And the body continues to the heart beats, the lungs breathe, the brain continues its activity. The body continues doing what it has always done all day and all night. The body does not need sleep. The soul needs the sleep so it can be rejuvenated when it elevates. And Moses is explaining that when this happens, the negative system comes in and does with the body what it will. It never does something that it doesn't have permission to do. Permission from the higher courts, from the spiritual courts. But the body will follow the directions of the negative system that has taken over the body. That's why in the morning we need to wash our hands before we touch our eyes. Because the last part of the soul that returns, that forces the negative system away from the body, is the hands. That's why our feeling in our fingers is so funny in the morning. Because it's still connected to the negative system. And that's why we wash our hands the first thing. Are there any questions? Tonight's class is the fourth in our series on the four phases. Theoretically, we should be talking about the fourth phase. And because I'm concerned about losing connection, I'm not going to go through the whole handout tonight. It's available on the website, the same location as the other three. If you go to the Revealed Wisdom link, and scroll down to the matrix. The second column from the left, the first row, is the class for the four phases. If you go to class number four, you'll see a link to a handout. I prepared it for the class, but I'm really going to kind of review the four. I'm going to talk about only the fourth phase. I'm not going to go through the meditation. I'm not going to go through the overall whatever's on the handout. But I am going to give you the background and the true understanding of the four phases. And hopefully, I won't be disconnected. If I'm disconnected, we will redo this fourth class with the handout next week. But hopefully, I won't be disconnected. As we have been talking about, the four phases is a creative process. Nothing in the history of the creation was created except for one thing. We need to understand that it is impossible to create something that you don't already have within you. an artist makes a printing, or a sculptor, or a sculpture. An artist is presenting what he sees in his mind's eye, It's already in him. Many artists will tell you, especially sculptures, but it's true of all artists, I'm only revealing what the article is showing me. But truth is that that artist has within him that perception. And then he goes about and creates this beautiful piece of art. Hashem is no different in this respect. Hashem created the universe, but within Hashem was the universe. There's just one thing that Hashem created that was not in him, and that is the desire to receive. Hashem has no desire to receive. Hashem is not a vessel. He is a fulfillment. He's a light. He's not a vessel. And as such, for him to create a vessel is an amazing, miraculous feat. Hashem is not a vessel, but he is the only entity that can create a vessel. Another vessel, once created, can create another vessel, because he is a vessel. It's within him. But the creator, the fulfillment, cannot create. He cannot create. I hope you're still there, because I'm getting a call from some phone number I don't know. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize for the interruption, but I didn't answer the phone call, and I just wasn't sure if I'd been disconnected. So the Kabbalists talk in terms of there has only been one creation throughout history, throughout all of the creations of the worlds. There's only one thing truly created, and that is called Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. And the meaning of that is there's no desire in Hashem. So how can he create desire? And that process of desire cannot be done in less than four steps. That creation of desire is what the four phases is describing. And any creation, whether Hashem does it, or you do it, or I do it, any creation must go through the same four phases. So let's understand the four phases that Hashem used to create something from nothing. Phase number one. There is a thought of creation in the Creator, or about the Creator. What is the thought of creation? It's actually a very complex plan of creation. It starts with the endless world. It creates a desire to receive, and then it fulfills that desire to receive in the endless world. And then it goes through a process of bringing that vessel, splitting it into smaller components, which come into the physical world through an evolutionary process. And it is only in this physical world that desire actually exists. And let's understand this fourth phase. What is true desire? We all think we want something. My six-year-old granddaughter loves ice cream. And she will tell you that she loves ice cream. She wants ice cream. Has she had ice cream before? Yes, she has. Has she been told she can't have ice cream? Yes, she has. Does she want ice cream more when she's told she can't have it? I can tell you from experience, my own as a child and hers as I watch her. When she's told she can't have something, she wants it more. Phase one is the light knocking on the door of the vessel. What is the vessel? Is it a desire? No, it's not a desire. It is a potential desire. But it's not really real. It's not true desire. Phase one is like, I see somebody that I vaguely remember from high school. I don't really want to meet them again. I knew them in high school. I moved on in my life. I've grown. I've gotten married. I've had children. I have no desire to see this person again. But if this person walks up to me and says, "Hi, how are you doing?" What am I going to say? How are you? It's a lovely night, isn't it? The weather's been really horrible recently. I'm going to treat them with what is called human dignity. I'm going to treat them in a normal human manner. I'm not going to yell at them and say, "Get away from me," because I don't really care about them one way or the other. If I'm busy, I might say to them, "You know, it's really nice to see you. Can we catch up another time because I have an appointment I must get to?" But for the most part, I'm just going to say, "Come on in. Let's have a short conversation." That's phase one. That's the light knocking on the door of the vessel that it created, the potential desire it created, and said, "Will you let me in? I want to be revealed," because that's the plan of creation. I want you to reveal me in the physical world. But phase one is not in the physical world. Phase one is called Chokmah. Phase one is a vessel that isn't really a vessel. Phase one is sitting there, having been created, and doesn't know why it's created. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, and this entity says, "Will you reveal me?" What is a human going to do? What is a vessel going to do? Going to say, "No, I've got better things to do. I just got created. I don't know what I want. I don't have a desire. You want to be revealed? I'll reveal you. No problem." What does it mean to reveal you? Well, let me show you what it means to reveal you. I'm going to come into your house. I'm going to come into your vessel. And I'm going to rest there. I'm going to be there. And because you're the garment I'm putting on, things outside of you are able to see me. They're able to know that I exist. By me putting you on as a garment, by you covering me up, you reveal me. Would you do that for me? And the vessel says, sure, that's what you want. Maybe that's what I was created for. Come on in. And what happens? Just as the hot coffee warms the cup takes on the nature of the heat of the coffee. Phase one becomes another phase. It's the same vessel. It's the same garment, but it has a different consciousness. What is that consciousness? It takes on the consciousness of the fulfillment of phase one. Phase one came into the vessel, meaning the light comes into the vessel, and it starts to make it feel itself. The vessel takes on this consciousness of I want to share. Why does it take on this consciousness? Because that's the consciousness of the fulfillment. What is the nature of God? First off, when I say God, you don't know what I mean. When you say God, I don't know what you mean. So how do I ask a question, what is the nature of God? But the Kabbalists are very, very tricky, very smart, and very real. And they teach us the nature of God is to share. That is what God's nature is. Not really God, but the extension of God that we can start with understanding. The cause of this extension, the cause of this light, we can't know about. As long as we're in the physical world, we can't know about it. But the light we can understand. How can we understand it? Let's take a candle. The candle represents light in our physical world. We're going back a couple thousand years before electricity because, you know, modern technology kind of confuses us. But let's go take a candle. Let's light a candle. Now let's take that candle and light two more candles. That's called sharing. The first candle shares itself with the other two candles that it lit. What do I mean by that? They're both, all three are made of wax. All three have a cotton wick. Oh, the two candles now have a light at the top. The wick is burning. That's called sharing myself. That's the nature of light. Whenever you hear the Kabbalists say light, this is what they're talking about. This is the nature of the first point that we can understand about the Creator. The nature of the Creator is to share. Now, is sharing the idea that you've earned what you've shared, what you're receiving? That's not the consciousness. That's something else. We're going to talk about it. But the nature of sharing is light. The nature of light is sharing. Sharing is self. Without an expectation. That's very rare in our physical world. It's hard to understand it. Let us try and make some sense of that. I'll open the door for a woman. Is that sharing? I'll buy her dinner. Is that sharing? I'll have a nice conversation with her. Is that sharing? Or do I have the consciousness of expecting something in return? If I have a consciousness that expects something in return, I am not sharing, I am giving. These are two different words. And you'll hear me mix them up. You'll hear every teacher of Kabbalah mix them up, because this is how strong Satan is. But the definition, sharing is not giving. And make no mistake, they're two different things. Sharing is not, what's the word that we all use? When you just do, you do something for somebody without expecting anything in return. Is that sharing?
Yeah.
Yes, that's sharing. But you do something when you expect something in return, and it's not given back to you. That expectation isn't met. Did you share? Or
nope.
Do you get upset the person didn't give back to you? You gave to him. He didn't give you back what you expected. You become upset. The light never becomes upset. The light never shares with an expectation to get back. We all will say from time to time, Hashem provides. Did I earn what Hashem provided? Well, you know, we've talked about bread of shame. How can Hashem provide if I haven't earned it? That's not the agreement. But the four phases, the creation of desire, is before the agreement. Hashem provides. Hashem shares. All it did ask was, let me in. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't a condition. It was a simple question. Can I come in? And the vessel said, yes, come on in. Did the vessel know what was going to happen? That it was going to change itself because the light came into the vessel? The vessel didn't know. Did the light know? The light knows everything. The light knew it had to have phase one in order to get to phase four. But it also knew that it couldn't go from phase one to phase four without going through phases two and three. The light came into the vessel. The vessel let it in. Now the vessel is something different. It has taken on the attribute of the light. But it's not the light. It's a vessel that wants to be the light. And in spirituality, consciousness defines separation. If I don't have the same consciousness as you, then we are two different entities. We are separated from each other. The light came into vessel in phase one, and phase one became phase two. It's still the same vessel, but it's not the same vessel. In a conceptual idea of physicality, it's the same cup, but it's not the same cup, because in phase one, the consciousness was come on in, and in phase two, the consciousness of the cup is, I want to share. So on one, in one frame, it's the same vessel. They're both cups. But in consciousness, they're very dissimilar. But I want to share isn't desire. I want to share is the consciousness of light being veiled by the consciousness of I. This can be difficult to understand, but it really isn't. The coffee that goes into the first cup releases its heat, transfers its heat to the cup. The cup isn't coffee, but it's warm, just like the coffee. This is the idea of light being covered by the I, by the ego, by me. Now, who can phase two share with? Can phase two give back the heat to the coffee? No, it can't. It has nothing to share with. It can't share with the coffee because the coffee has no desire. The essence of the coffee is heat. The essence of the coffee is sharing. The essence of the cup is to hold the coffee. Phase two is, I want to share. I have nobody to share with. And the Creator in His mercy, the light in His mercy, created a vessel called Zerunpin. Created a vessel that comes into existence when phase two comes into existence. Phase two causes phase three to appear. What is phase three? It's a coffee cup. It's a coffee cup where the coffee has gone cold. It's a coffee cup that no longer wants what phase two has to share, what phase one has to share. It doesn't want the hot coffee. It wants coffee. It wants what phase two has to share. Phase two became warm from the coffee. Phase three wants, I'm using that term superficially. It doesn't want, because phase three is not a desire to receive either. Phase three doesn't want hot coffee. It wants coffee. It wants what phase two has to share. What does phase two have to share? It has to share hot coffee that has gone cold because the I has covered it. The ego has covered it. The consciousness of vessel has reduced it. It's less warm. Phase three says, give me what you have to share. Phase two shares with phase three. Everything is lovely. Everything is hunky-dory. Everybody's happy. Phase one, the same coffee cup, still has hot coffee. There's no disappearance in spirituality. Phase two has cold coffee. Phase three has the cold coffee from phase two. Everybody's happy. So what happens? Phase three starts to remember because it's the same coffee cup. Phase three starts to remember the hot coffee, how warm it felt, how wonderful it felt, how everything was good. And it looks around, it feels around, it expresses itself. I used to have hot coffee, and now you're giving me cold coffee. Something's wrong here. I want the coffee back. Phase three has become phase four. Phase three has disappeared. Phase three, the consciousness is out of, I want what the light, what the vessel has to share, says, no more, I want it all. Give me back the hot coffee. Give me the light. Give me everything. I want everything. I want it all. I'm not going to settle for coffee. I want hot coffee. I crave ice cream because I haven't had it in a few weeks. I crave ice cream because you told me I can't have it. I want what I once had, and I realize that I've lost it. The idea of becoming a vessel sucks. Give me what I had. You created me. You wanted me to have it. I had it. Now I've lost it. And that is the way desire is created. It must be received. It must be felt. And only after you lose it can you demand it back. If more than want it, you demand it. It's yours by right. Why am I going to settle for $1 million when I want $10 billion? It's my right. Give it to me. But you have to earn it. No, I don't. Nobody created, you know, something created me. I don't have to earn anything. What is this deal about earning? It has nothing to do with the four phases. I want what I lost. Phase three is called darkness. Look up into space. I'm sitting in a parking lot looking up at the stars with all those traffic lights around me, so I can't see the stars. But if you're able to see the stars, you see the stars, and the scientists tell you they're suns. But why are they darkness? Why are there darkness all around? Because space is phase three. Space is darkness. Space is the light of the sun, the light of many suns, that cannot be fulfilling to the vessel. Why? Because the vessel realizes that it wants more than the light from one sun. It wants everything. It demands. Give it to me. I want it. It's mine. I earned it. I deserve it. I know it. Whatever terms you want to use. This is the desire to receive. And the only way it can be created is the vessel had the fulfillment, so he knows what it's like. then he loses it. In order for him to lose, he has to want something less than whole. This is why it takes four phases. Phase one, let me in, I want to be removed. Fine, I'll let you in. Phase two, I want to share. I want to be like the light. I want to be God. What's wrong with being God? What's the thing that every parent wants to give to their children? Themselves. I'm a good person. Be like me. I earn a great income. Earn my income. Do better than me, even. Are you understanding the metaphors giving you to help you understand these four phases? Phase two, I want to share. It had to be in existence because the vessel had to ask for something less. And the only way the light can become less is to be veiled by a vessel. Eklipa. By covering, by a garment, by clothing. Now the vessel says, I want what I'm, what you have to share. I'm not craving what you have to share. I'm not demanding what you have to share. I want what you have to share. What you have to share.
Nope, you're cutting off. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is this any better?
Okay, you're back.
I am phase two. I want to share. I'm a garment covering the lights. Phase three is, I want what phase two has to share. But phase three is fine until it realizes that, hey, I had everything. I had all of the fulfillment. I had hot coffee, not just coffee. I had everything. I want that back. I crave that back. I won't settle for not having that back. You give it to me. That's desire to receive. That's the baby crying for milk. Go explain to the baby that the formulas were out of formula today. See what happens. You want to listen to the shrine? You want to listen to it get louder? To get more uncomfortable, more painful for you to listen to? This is desire. This is true desire. I'm hungry. I want to be fulfilled. This is desire to receive. And the only way it can be created is through four steps. You want to be revealed, I'll reveal you. I want to share. I want what the vessel has to share. I had everything, I want everything back. I don't like this coffee. I want hot coffee again. Does anybody have any questions? This class is essentially the review of the four phases. This is what it's about. It's a process. Creation is a process. It must follow these four steps. But what about if I create a painting or a sculpture? What about if I create a child? What about if I create a paper, an essay? It must follow these four steps. What about creating a tree? I have to take the seed. The seed has to be planted in the ground. The root takes hold in the ground and grows upward to a branch, to a trunk. And the trunk splits into branches, and the branches split into leaves, and the leaves become fruit, and the fruit becomes a new tree. Or the seed within the fruit becomes a new tree. Did I describe four phases to you? Not really. You want me to describe how a tree becomes four phases? I will let you think about that and begin to understand how every creative act that is ever accomplished or ever will be accomplished must go through these four phases. This is the process of creation. And no matter what we do in this physical world, we are becoming creators. And we must know how to go through the creative process, or we're going to get it wrong. What happens if I create a vessel that never had the hot coffee? I build a cup, and I put water in it. Does the cup want water, or does it want hot coffee? If it never lost hot coffee, it never knows that it wants hot coffee. What am I building? I'm building a cup. What's the purpose of the cup? To desire hot coffee. That's why I make it out of mud and ceramic. If I wanted a cup for water, I don't need to make it thick. I can make it very thin. I don't have to worry about the heat transfer. Desire is for something that I've lost. I had it once, and I've lost it. That creates desire. Without having it and then losing it, it's not desire. It's a pale reflection of desire. It's, I'll let you in. You want to be revealed? Come on in. It's, I want to share. Why do you want to share? Because I've taken on the nature that's not me. I want what the vessel has to share. Oh, okay. Wait a second. I had it. I was really happy when I had hot coffee. I want it all. Give it back to me. I'm not moving till I get it. I'm going to continue to try and cry for hours until my belly is full with hot coffee or milk if you're a baby. But what about the first time my granddaughter had ice cream? How did she know that she wanted ice cream? She'd never tasted it before. That's not true. She had ice cream when she was in the endless world. Because in the endless world, you didn't really desire. The potential for the desire was there. But you didn't really want. You didn't crave. You didn't demand. Why not? Because it was only in potential. And even in potential, you felt bread of shame. But in this physical world, when we come down here, we've lost it many times. We've had it all many times. We've had it all in a previous lifetime. We had it all as Adam. Only thing we couldn't do is eat from this one silly tree in the middle of the garden. We didn't have to eat from it. We didn't want to eat from it. Oh, wait a second. He told us not to? That means I want to. Isn't that human nature? Desire. You must have what you want and then lose it. Otherwise, it's not desire. Are there any questions? Wednesday is the daylight fast from morning sunrise to sunset. Please take a look at how to have an easy fast on the website. You can find it if you don't know where else it is. If you didn't get an email that has the links to it, go on the website at yeshem.com. Go on the right side where it says Unique Astrological Events. And when you open that page, scroll down towards the bottom where it will say 3 weeks. Where it will say how to have an easy fast. Click on that link. The meditation for the 3 weeks is very important. It lets you veil the light of the Creator to be a level less intense, so that during this period where you don't have your protection shield, called the Shekhinah, it's not active during this 3 weeks, you can handle that intense energy because you've veiled it. You've asked only for the light that you can handle. You're playing at phase 3. It's necessary. Really, we want it all. But we can't handle it all, so we ask for less. This is a desire that makes sense. Not to be self-destructive, but to be balanced. When the protection shield starts to act again, at the end of the 3 weeks, after the 3 weeks, then we can go ahead and ask for it all again and demand it all again. But during this 3 weeks, for our own safety, for our own benefit, ask for less. Use the meditation that veils the light. Change the Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke into these three other names. Inject the energy of Sim Shalom, desire for peace. That's what the meditation is all about. The same four phases, the same creative process. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful week. Have an easy fast on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Join us for the Zohar classes during the week. They'll only be helpful during this 3 week period, keeping you in balance. Every afternoon, in order to know about the timing of it, you need to have a text message that you want it. Give me the phone number to call. Thursday night, 10 p.m. will be a Zohar class. Saturday night at 10 p.m. will be a Zohar class. These are opportunities. Tomorrow night at 8:30, before the start of the fast, on Wednesday morning, we have an advanced reincarnation class. Please join us. Next Sunday morning at 10:30, I don't remember what the class is going to be. I'll look it up and prepare it. Please join us. The more you study during these 3 weeks, the more you find balance, the more you create a vessel that you can demand it all when the 3 weeks are over. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Bye.